This episode of Giggly Squad is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. It is definitely allergy season, and if you're someone that suffers from allergies, then I'm really sorry that spring is a huge struggle for you. I'm going to be honest, it's kind of fun for the rest of us, but I know what it's like living with someone with allergies. Craig has the absolute worst allergies, and that's why he loves coming to New York City. It's literally concrete. One thing I do as a good girlfriend is always have Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. They're hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. We are very into our skincare routine, so we're not going to let anything mess it up. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Sup, gigglers?
Gary, fix the Wi-Fi.
Manifest that shit.
We can't be managed. I mean, the day just got away from me.
You press recordo?
Why are you saying recordo?
I don't know.
That just, like, gave me the ick, honestly.
What is up, my green-nailed gigglers? I don't know if I said that one before, but
no,
everyone
has
green nails right now.
I know. We literally started a movement.
I went to Vegas and, like, all the gigglers were showing me their nails and were taking photos of our nails. I mean, Zara needs to drop some green nail polish or something.
No, seriously. Someone needs to. Someone has to do it.
I keep getting ads for Zara's makeup and I'm like, guys, stop overcompensating because you know I talk shit about you.
Didn't you cancel them single-handedly? Canceled Zara makeup?
I was Kylie Jenner tweeting about Snapchat.
Literally. You're like, Zara makeup, it's so over.
That was a real throwback. We're virtual right now. Paige is in Charleston. I'm about to go to Paris tonight. It's going to be my whole new personality. It's gonna
How
be
chic.
So chic.
You have literally have to catch a flight to Paris.
No, it's intolerable. Like, it's obnoxious. I also know zero French. Like, I can't
No,
even
I know
pretend.
Zero French. I do appreciate the French because I just feel like they're so rude and I love that. Like, they don't care about anyone but, like, the French. And so, like, I feel like if you go to France and you even do know a little bit of French and you try it with them, they're like, let's just talk English, you absolute imbecile. Like, and I appreciate that energy.
I appreciate it too. It's like, because we're New Yorkers, be real with me. If you fucking hate me, just hate me.
Yeah, like, I don't care. We got to keep it moving. Like, we got things to do.
I'm such a nerd. We're basically, we didn't have a honeymoon, so we're going to the French Open. It's like the thing. Haven't you been to the French Open?
I oddly have been to the French Open.
So random.
So random. And I can never look back on those pictures because something happened to me on that trip where my face got so bloated because I think I was literally inhaling so much salt that you'll never find a picture of me from said French Open because I can't look at my face. It literally looks like I got my wisdom teeth out because I didn't stop eating in France.
I love how you're like, I've deleted all evidence all across the internet.
No one would ever know I was there.
but you fall in love with tennis at the French Open? I remember you texting me being like, wait, this is c'est la vie chic.
It was probably the chicest thing I've ever been to. And we've been to the US Open and, like, I think that's chic. The French one is on a different fucking level.
Yeah, US, like, Open's not chic. US Open is like cute, fun, high energy. French Open, Wimbledon. Class.
The way that people are dressed to go to the French Open, I was just like, oh my God.
Well, I texted you and said I'm going to the French Open and you got all stressed. You're like, do you know what you're gonna wear? I'm like, you know me. A day before, pressure makes diamonds. I'm just gonna figure it out.
I will say, I do remember every single outfit I wore on that French trip. And that's
sick. People say that you're dumb. You are dumb.
Yeah.
But you're specifically very smart with outfits.
I'm smart with things that I care about. You
I
know?
Think that's ADHD.
I think that's just narcissism. I think it's just pure selfishness. If I wanted to be a doctor, I'm sure I could do it, but I'm like, I don't care.
No, I'm the same way. Because I'll be like, I have ADHD. And they're like, but how come you focus so hard on like making stupid clips on TikTok? And I'm like, because it's my passion.
If I became a doctor, my slogan would be like, look, at some point everyone dies. So I literally don't know what to tell you.
We also have to discuss, I was in Vegas.
Oh, yes. You looked stunning, gorgeous.
You hated Vegas. You would have loved this experience in Vegas.
Okay. You looked like you had a residency.
I had a full residency for like 14 hours. They put me up at this very nice suite where the performers go, and immediately my DMs are blowing up by gigglers being like, they're going to kick you out. Double check, call in.
I was going to say, were you triggered by getting like a nice room?
I didn't even take my pants off for like 2 hours because I was like, I didn't even take my shoes off. I was like, we're going to have to pack this up, but let's get the footage. And it's such a big room. At least with you, I had you where like I was alone. At one point I was just standing in the corner, just like not knowing what to do.
Oh, okay. You're like alone, alone.
And I didn't know which like furniture to sit on. I felt like other furniture would get jelly if I sat on the other furniture. At one point, I sat on the floor.
How was there? Just mental picturing.
I just was sitting on the floor.
How was the room service?
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That's my favorite part.
The problem, though, is when the room is so big that when the person like knocks on the door, it takes me like 10 minutes to get to the door because I'm in like four rooms over.
My mom has this story where she said she knew at this exact moment that I was going to be like a difficult woman, like hard to please, when the first time like we ever stayed in a hotel and like I got room, like she ordered room service and I was like 5 years old and I saw it come to the door and I was like, my whole world had changed. I was like, wait a second. And honestly, I remember that moment. Like, it's stuck in my brain. And ever since then, I think room service is the best thing that's ever happened to the planet.
You go, I have found my purpose. I found my passion.
I was like, hold on. They're going to wheel that table to the bed and we're going to sit on the edge of it.
I do have to say, though, when I'm alone, I actually kind of get anxiety with room service because, you know, they come in and they're always like very nice and you're always embarrassed because you ordered like so much food.
Yeah.
And then they have to like open up all the food and you're just standing there like,
yeah,
like a gremlin, like, meh, 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 meh. Can we
eat
this?
It's like when people sing you happy birthday. You're like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
And then they're always like, and sign the check. And then it always like has gratuity added, but they're like looking. So I feel like I have to add more gratuity. And I'm like, I just know that there's a high percentage that I'm going to fuck up this one-on-one interaction.
Can I tell you something so dumb? Whenever I'm in that situation, like gratuity included or not, I don't know. So I just always write 20%. But if you think I can add that quickly what the 20% on the bill is, you're out of your tree. Like, I can't.
So you write 20%.
I write 20%, then I leave the total blank, then I sign my name. I'm like, they'll figure it out when they're back.
Wait, that's so dumb. It's genius. Because if they already had added the 20, they'll be like, oh, she means making sure the 20's on.
Right.
Wait.
They could also, like, I could write in 20%, and then they could do the total equaling 100%, and I could be getting scammed, and I don't need to know. It has nothing to do with me.
That's not your journey. You have given it to someone else to deal with, and it's not your fault at this point.
It's literally none of my business.
They always bring it, like, deep in the room, you know? So then you're just standing there with a stranger in the room, and then you're, like, waiting for them to leave so you could pummel it down your throat. So then sometimes they're chatty. Like, I don't love that part of it.
Have you ever been on the phone with room service and like your order keeps going and going and then they're like, how many people is this for?
Yes,
and you're by yourself and you're like, two for sure. Like, this is definitely.
So what they did at the Wynn is they ask first. They go, how many people is this for? So it's less awkward if at the end, so you don't have to be seven.
There have been multiple times where I'm like, there's three people in here for sure. We're
going to
need three sets of utensils. Absolutely. Thank you. They're not here right now, but they're coming. Don't worry.
I ordered tuna fish croissants. I'm always very daring. I always like to live life on the edge.
You honestly, that's food poisoning right there.
I say that I find the drama. I am the drama.
Yeah.
I am the drama.
With your Vegas excursion, you did unfortunately miss the Taylor Swift concert.
You guys, Paige texted me months ago being like, I'm going to Taylor Swift. And I was like, can I come? And she was like, no, I'm bringing Craig. And I was like, okay. You don't support women in the arts. You don't support women in the arts.
You say I you actually do. Remember texting you that, being like, I'm going to Taylor Swift. And I was like, that's such a weird thing that I just randomly told her that, because like, I'm not inviting her. I just wanted her to know. And you're like, cool, can I come? And I was like, no.
And then the next day, because it was like a brand collab, they reached out to me. Clearly, I wasn't their first choice.
No, but we were there with Claudia and her sister Margot and Ben. And it was...
I didn't know they were going to be there. I know. What happened to me is they were basically like, you have to get there at a certain time. And I couldn't get back from Vegas. So I had to cancel my Taylor Swift experience. And I need you to tell me everything I missed.
Okay, so first, let me preface this with, I have gone through phases with Taylor. Oh my God.
Are you about to come for Taylor? And
no.
The Taylor gods are...
No.
Do you remember when you came for Rihanna and everyone was really mad?
Okay. Like, she doesn't have a bitchy face. Oh my God.
She's pregnant. That's a compliment.
I feel like I've gone through phases with Taylor Swift. Like, all through high school, I died for Taylor. Like, that was the only music I really listened to. High school and college.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Love Taylor. After I got out of college, I kind of like fell off. Like, I didn't care anymore. And I was like, whatever. Like, this is, yeah. What up? Blah, blah, blah. Within the past, I would say like year, or really like after she did her documentary, I was like back on Taylor. Since like her breakup, I just like what she stands for. I like her demeanor. But with that, I went into this situation like I go into most, I would say. And I would say pretty humble, where I'm like, I definitely don't belong at a Taylor Swift concert with these diehard Swiftie fans.
Yeah.
Because I do not know every word to every song. I definitely know a lot of words to a lot of songs, but I'm not like top tier fan.
Wait, now that reminds me, you know when you're like on the bus and like girls just break out in song and you don't know the words to the song they're breaking out in, and you have to just like move your head and you're like, you kind of finish the end of the word.
Yeah. Wait till I get, I have a great example of that. So I am like, I want to go. And I know Craig is a really big fan of Taylor Swift. Like, he's going to know all the words. Great.
I'll
go with him. Craig is pumped. So excited. We get to
Craig's
Taylor. We get our seats. We're sitting there. Claudia and Margot come in. They're sitting on the other side of me. They know not only every song, they know every outfit she's going to wear during that song. They know when she has talking monologues. They told me when it was appropriate to go to the bathroom. Like, I would have died if I did not have a Taylor Swift chaperone in Claudia.
So,
like,
oh my, so they made it way more interesting because they were like, this is why this is important.
Yes, they were giving me all of the factoids that I needed. They knew every single word to every single song. So in fact, the words that I didn't know, I would just listen to Claudia and then I would repeat them a little bit slower. Like, so I was like, yeah, girl.
Shout out to Claudia for also having an amazing singing voice. Because like, I'll sing things and people will be like, you're ruining the song.
At one point, I like looked at her and I was like, you could give this concert. Like, she really was so good. I was like, I feel like I'll just come to your apartment and we'll have a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah, we could have done this in New York City.
Yeah, I didn't have to come to Jersey for this. The concert starts and Craig starts kind of panicking because he didn't know really. He knew like two songs and he was like, oh my God, I thought like I knew way more than I did. And I just, in my head, I was like, wow, this is so our personalities. I came in here humble. I know nothing. In reality, I knew it all, honey. He came into it being like, I know everything. And in reality, knew fucking nothing. Okay.
It's giving, the plane is going down, and Craig is like, I can fix this plane. And you are like, actually, babe, I'll do it.
It's giving, let me put my oxygen mask on first, and then I'll deal with whatever the fuck's going on over here. But I need to save myself first. Now, I kept looking at him. I go, don't you want to sing? Oh, you don't know this song? Let me sing it for you.
Wait. So Did he know like three Taylor Swift songs and thought he was like a Swiftie?
He literally knew like songs from the first album. Like my Polo, my dog knows those songs. Like it's Wait, it wasn't.
So you kept looking over to him. He must have been. He got actually so anxious.
He was so sad. He was like, wow, I really thought like I was just going to know more.
Wait, so you guys are laughing, singing together, doing like choreographed dance moves together, and he's just in the corner?
He pulled a full Hannah. He was singing not the real words, but in the melody, you know? And no one was going to call this man out.
So. You're looking at his lips and they're just... He's speaking Spanish. He's doing reggaeton.
But he had a great time.
He's doing Taylor Swift, Craig's version.
Yeah, literally, Craig's version. Not produced by Scooter Braun. I will say she is, I think, like the only way to describe her, I think, as a human is like literally just a powerhouse. Like, I don't know how she performs for so long. And so passionately, she does it three nights in a row. Then she takes like four nights off. And then each weekend, she's in a new city.
How was the beginning of it? Like, walk us through a little.
She comes out. Basically, the whole thing is like each album, each era is a different room in the house and a different color. So like when you see the lights in the stadium turn a different color, you know you're entering a different era. She kind of performs, yeah, like I would say three songs from each album. She does a total of 40 songs and then two surprise songs, which is nuts. Her parents come to every show. They have their own separate tent. Then there's a tent for famous people. So last night at our show, I'm trying to think who was there. It was like Ben Stiller. The night before, like Jennifer Lawrence, Reese Witherspoon went to one. Like all these famous people, so many famous people go.
Does it cut to them?
There's a full tent. No, but we were like looking on Twitter to like see who was there.
Yeah.
But it was definitely an experience for sure. Like I'm glad I experienced it. But as your friend, I'm never going to be like, oh my God, you missed the greatest night of our lives. Like you're fine.
I actually have never been to like, I was never a concert girly. I think yeah, it was because I was forced to be playing tennis all the time.
Wait, I was never a concert girly either. And it was really because my mom was like, no.
I also didn't do drugs.
Yeah, she was like, bad things happen at concerts. You're not going.
Once in college, my friends made me go to this. What's the guy who's like,
oh yeah, for sure. Dude, I can't. That's, you're literally Craig. He'll be like, who's that actor with the hair?
Dave Matthews Band.
Okay, yeah. But like how you just, Craig will literally say to me sometimes, you know that actor that I like? I'm like, oh yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yes. With that description, who couldn't know? Who couldn't know?
I don't know how I like grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I just, Dave Matthews Band never crossed my desk. Like it was never. I never even opened the page. No one ever put it on.
Never crossed my desk. I love that saying. Oh my God. If I forget anything, I'm just going to say, honestly, it never crossed my desk. So I'm not sure.
Speaking from two girls who rarely ever had a 9-to-5, it never crossed my desk. I missed the meeting. Definitely missed the
Sorry,
email.
Sorry, I don't
the
think
meeting.
I was on that email. No. How much do you think I've been lying? Do you think I've been lying the past week when I missed that one email and I was like, can you keep forwarding it to me? Did you think I was lying? Because I genuinely wasn't.
No, I don't think you're lying, but when you do it, I go, oh, maybe I put the wrong page on it. I always click the email. I go, definitely was sent to page. And then I okay, resend. I'll do it all day because it makes me feel useful. It makes
okay,
me feel
great, because
like
I got
supporting you.
I got way in my head the one night because I was like, Hannah definitely thinks I'm lying and I'm just like not responding to any emails. And I got so nervous about it. Anyway,
I
okay,
feel
keep
like
going.
My college friends were like, we're going to Dave Matthews Band. They're all excited. And I'm like Lil Wayne. Like I'm like,
yes,
Akon. So I'm yeah, like Dave Matthews Band, this sounds like it's for retired people, but I'm like, fine, I'll go. And I decide to, you know how like every 1 or 2 years I take like a huge hit of weed to just see if I'm good at smoking weed,
see what happens.
So they got me high and then all
you
these
cried.
Instruments come out.
Yeah,
I don't fuck with instruments, like too many instruments I was like, what? Like a trumpet, a trumpet. I was feeling like we were going to war. It was like,
what is that? A cello? Grow up.
A cello. Then like the drums. Like I was like, I just want to see Diplo. Like what is going on here?
The stimulation, it was too much.
Starting a war chant, yeah, of some kind. I had the most insane panic attack.
Yeah.
With Dave, and then Dave Matthews is like, with his voice. And I was like, why does his voice sound like that? I freaked out. So now I can never listen to Dave Matthews Band again. And I never have.
It's
I have
triggering boundaries for you.
So like, I was not a concert girly.
How old were you?
Honestly, it was young enough that it scarred. I was like 19.
Yeah, you were scarred for
life. I was 19. But also, I don't like big crowds. I don't like being stuck in places that I can't get out of easily. Like, yeah, the second I get somewhere, I'm like, how do we leave? Also, I want easy access to the bathroom. If I'm nervous pooping the whole time, I want to be able to just drop in and it's easy to come back. I don't like a whole rigmarole.
It's so funny how we are so opposite, because my first Dave Matthews Band experience, quite literally, the exact opposite.
What happened?
We would go to Dave Matthews in, okay, where I grew up, there's Saratoga Performing Arts Center. So in the summer, they have all of these concerts. So when you're in high school, I think they changed the rules now, but that was like the first place you would really drink, because you would drive to these parking lots and you would kind of like tailgate pregame before you went in.
They changed the rules now, like it was a rule, like this is where you drink.
No, they changed because we all were getting so fucked up. Oh. And we were like 15 that they, yeah, did. They ended up changing the rules of like you couldn't go in the parking lots before and drink.
Yeah.
So like my first Dave Matthews, that was like you would hit high school if you were going to a Dave Matthews concert. And I was a freshman, yeah, in high school. I planned my outfit. I still remember what I wore. I wore a white romper from BB. And some girl looked at me and goes, oh, honey, a white romper. And I was scarred for life. Scarred for life because it was stunning, gorgeous.
Oh my god.
And I remember I got,
you're like, now I have to become a fashion influencer.
And now I have to become a fashion icon.
Crash over me. Crash over me.
So I remember me and my friends got so drunk, and then my parents picked us up from a concert and they brought us to a diner and they had no idea that we couldn't see straight.
Wait, that is so, we had such a different experience.
Such a different experience.
But also Dave Matthews Band, like people are chilling. People are like loving life. Chilling. So like
people are, yeah, people are smoking weed. They're doing mushrooms. They're chilling.
I also didn't know any word to any of it, which is, again, you're just kind of like, when people look at you and when they make eye contact, that's the worst. When they're singing, making eye contact, and you're trying to, and you're just like, yes, what you said.
if you don't know any words at a concert, I've resorted to the phrase, so good live. Such a different experience live. You know?
Be like, shh, I'm trying to listen. This is, her voice is so,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, because then it throws people off. They're like, oh my god, she's such a fan. She's like really immersed.
I do have to say, I have a terrible memory. Mm-hmm. Like very bad memory.
All hot girls do.
I'm so good with lyrics. So what's our good snacks?
Well, we were in a box, so there were great snacks, chicken fingers and sushi. It was an odd combo, but I was here for it. All I was thinking about while we were on the way to the concert was, how were we going to leave the concert? Like, yeah, where was everyone parking? One. Also, like, how much money was Taylor Swift making on each show? We're calculating merch. Like, I was being full. Like, I was like, what is she pulling in here? So all we were thinking about, like, was when we were going to leave. And Claudia and Ben had rented a car and drove. So at, like, before they knew like the whole show, so they knew the exact perfect time to leave. Literally took us 15-20 minutes to get back to the city. It was the biggest high. The biggest high. Me and Craig started laughing because I was like, oh my god, we're so fucking old. Because we were like, if we get back to the city now, we'll have a full hour before we have to like get ready for bed. And then I was like, and I can do my skincare and we can pack for our bags and get on our flight in the morning. Like, it was so, I felt like I was 80 years old.
See, when I heard Taylor Swift concert in New Jersey, I felt like it was like leaving a football game, you know, where like everyone leaves at the same time and then you don't want to leave too early.
She sold it out, and the count was like 70,000 people. 70,000 people leaving a venue all at once. Like, no.
So you guys left a little early.
I would say we left like 30 minutes before it ended.
How was the outfits? Like, not her outfits, the outfits of the crowd.
The outfits of the crowd were great. I mean, everyone like really
served
and really was like into it and dressed up. And it was like very sweet. Like, you did feel like you were a part of something. I did enjoy the concert. Yeah. But I would never, I'm not like, some of those tickets were going for like $5,000. It couldn't be me.
Wild.
Crazy.
What I get surprised by is the outfit changes by the artist. Like Taylor, I saw she had one with like one long leg spandex. Yep. And in my head, I'm like, how did she do the outfit changes? Would she just disappear? Was it quick?
She would disappear. She would like go under the stage and then she would pop back up. But what I've realized is I think they have a lot of clothes on and then they take off.
Because
there was one thing where like it was, she ripped it down the back and she had a whole new outfit on. So I think she has like a base layer.
Wow. The wardrobe stylists are so fascinating for those. Because it has to be easy to take off. Because most dresses that are fashion are impossible to put on.
Could you imagine the admin of where you're going to change, where are the clothes, what like the timing, the steps, the choreography?
See, I'm fascinated by all the admin of a concert of that level. I mean, Giggly Squad, we have a lot of admin for our show.
No. Dude, we have to talk about the documentary on HBO that is literally just a podcast tour that they vlogged and turned into a documentary. And I was like, it's this podcast Smartless. It's Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and then Sean. I don't know what Sean's last name is. They have a podcast and they like started doing live shows. And it's basically just following them from city to city. It's Giggly Squad. I was like, first of all, we have way more debacles that happen as we're traveling than they do. I mean, they fly private. They fly fully private to every city. They're like in the penthouse of every hotel.
Ours would be way more fun to watch.
I'm like, try getting kicked out of the penthouse. How would that feel? How would you think? And I was like, we need to start vlogging and just throwing it up on YouTube.
They're not getting their hair and makeup done and like getting nervous about outfits.
Everything they complain about is food related. And I'm like, get a Hannah who eats your leftovers and you'll literally never worry about it.
We will not eat or have McDonald's because we're so high on adrenaline from all the craziness. Also, they definitely have like so much staff, right? Like running the shows.
So, I mean, they have assistants, they have tour managers, they have like all the things. They literally just show up. But one of the parts, it's in the very beginning, I couldn't stop laughing because they walk into their first venue and it's in DC. And I think it's actually the venue we played in DC. Uh-huh. And they walk in and they're looking at all the seats and they look at each other and they're like, wait, what do we say when we get on stage? Like, they got so nervous. They were like, wait, why did we agree to do this? Like, and I was like, oh my God, that's the feeling I have every time before we walk out on stage. I'm like, wait, what are we doing?
No, I just have a like huge fear of saying the wrong city.
Yeah.
But I definitely paused, so and you've funny. Gotten me for it. You're like, and Denver, because even though the cities are different, the stages feel the same. Sometimes
the stages feel all the same.
That's fascinating, though. I need to watch it to manifest for us.
Yeah, and it's funny. They're funny.
Yeah, they are. Their podcast is amazing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school and get smoothing you know where. And they have straps that actually stay on. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support is absolutely guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck in between two cup sizes that don't really fit you. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your first order with code PODCAST15. Summer is right around the corner, and I love those days where you're like, let me just throw on like a little mini dress and a pair of sneakers. If you love that also, then Roback just launched their new women's line, and it's our absolute favorite. Also new is their Sunrise Active Short. We absolutely love them. They're very lightweight. They're performance fabric. They're perfect for on the go, but they also have really good just like loungewear sets. Like, you have days that you want to rot on the couch, but like rotting on the couch is very different than rotting in the bed. Rotting on the couch, you need like the perfect hoodie and jogger set. Their sets are so soft, but they also have a lot of skorts, crews, active dresses that blend just seamlessly into your wardrobe, but also like you can actually go out and do things in them. Use code GIGGLY for 20% off your first purchase through the end of the week. That's 20% off hoodies, joggers, dresses, and more with code GIGGLY.
Side note, I saw Claudia on The Toast was talking about, she was kind of coming for like some influencers who talk about manifesting. I do not think she was coming for us at all.
No, certainly not.
She was talking about influencers who would be like, I manifested this brand trip and then I got it. And she's like, but you've been messaging them, DMing them, emailing them, tagging them for weeks. And I thought it was funny to think about. But there's a difference. I mean, it is a form of manifesting in terms of just focusing on something and trying to get it, saying it out loud, going for it.
Yes.
But there is also, that is like a, I get 100% what she's saying. Like, you don't really call it manifesting. You go like, no, you did it.
If you like you asked just did for it. Yeah.
You asked for it.
Yeah.
But then I saw this Jim Carrey is like very fascinating. We don't talk about Jim Carrey enough.
No, we don't. You saw his graduation speech?
About the bicycle?
Yes. Tell the people. Tell the people.
So he brings up manifesting. I'm like, okay, Jim Carrey's coming into our, you know,
our realm.
What is he saying? And I knew he was like an interesting spiritual guy. And he basically was like, an Irish teacher in middle school told him, if you want something, you ask for it.
Like, say it out loud. He said, pray about it. The OG manifestation, Christianity.
Jesus was the ultimate manifester.
No, I love our generation and Gen Z because we're like, religion? Oh my God, couldn't be me. And they're like, just get these crystals and pray to this God and manifest this. And it's like, we just literally took Christianity and repackaged it, Gen Z approved.
So she basically was like, say what you want. And he's a kid, so obviously he's like, I want a bike.
Yep.
And then he said 2 weeks later, a bike emerges on his stoop or whatever. And he goes, how does this hear? And he goes, someone put your name down for some random raffle for a bike and you won. And from that moment on, he said like his life just fucking shot out. Because it's like, once you believe in it, it happens. Yeah. Like I truly, okay, not to get deep about tennis, but I really manifested being a professional tennis player. Like all I wanted was to be a professional tennis player and it didn't happen. And I think it's because deep down, I wanted it for the wrong reasons. Like, I wanted it to impress, like, my dad. I wanted it to impress my coaches. I wanted it to impress other people. But, like, I wasn't actually, I wanted them to be proud of me. I didn't want to be a tennis player. Even though I love tennis.
Yeah.
Because then I'm wondering how come, like, comedy is working so much smoother for me than tennis. And it's, like, because I think I'm manifesting, like, the experience. Where tennis, I just was like, I need to win this match. And they were like, you can't win this match.
You're manifesting being fulfilled by your profession.
Yes.
And that's what you got.
And tennis, I actually like hated like competing against people every day. Like, you know, I'm a sensitive little soul and I don't like fighting.
The craziest thing to me is that like you literally used to have to wake up and do like workouts.
in college, I had to wake up at 6 a.m. every day, do a 2-hour workout, play 3 hours of tennis after class, and then sometimes do weights after.
No.
We'd have to do, like, every day I would get to the point of almost puking from pushing yourself so hard. And you didn't even feel fit because you were so sore, because you were exerting your body so hard. Because if you didn't push yourself so hard, you could lose your scholarship, you would lose to the next girl. Like, it was just so much pressure. And that's why I think when people are like, how do you perform in front of all these people? I'm like, because this is fun for me compared to the literal torture I went through.
I do one workout and I'm like, it's so weird they haven't asked me to be in Sports Illustrated. So odd. It's a bad look for them, honestly.
Do I have like one tennis hit and be like, should she go back on tour? Yes. Yes. Yeah. She's incredible. But I do think it's like, make sure your motives are right. Like, you're doing it because you really want it just for you. And then you just fucking lean in.
When I was younger, I used to say this phrase like all the time because I thought it was funny, but I feel like I like manifested it in like a weird way. When anyone would like say something to me, I'd be like, whatever, I'm an undiscovered soap star. And
Wait.
I'm an undiscovered soap star. Like, remember when soap operas were so big?
Yeah, my Nana was obsessed with them.
I literally thought that that was my calling. Like, I was going to be on a soap opera. And so I would just say, like, I'm just undiscovered.
Like, wait, but you literally are a soap star now. Like, reality TV is the new soap star.
No, I literally, reality TV replaced soap operas.
But I actually used to do this a really embarrassing thing because I was like, I would pray for this one boy.
Mm-hmm. It's not how God works, but keep going.
Okay, so I knew that he had a crush on me.
You think God is putting together premarital sex? I don't think so.
Yeah, that was so a non-religious person praying. Yeah,
you're like, hey, if he just looks at me, I promise I'll never lie again.
So I knew this boy liked me. Like, I knew he did. But for whatever reason, he was, like, playing games. And I would pray to God for him to love me and to show me.
That's sick in the head.
Is that great? I go, I want him to love me and to show me. Because I know he loves me, but I need him to show it.
I'm going to be honest. I've seen some TikToks that are like, if you say this 4 times, he'll text you. And, like, when me and Craig first started talking, I was like, fuck it, I'm doing it. I would like repeat something like, he can't live without me. He literally is obsessed with.
Okay.
We're witches.
Now you make me feel better about mine. But the problem with mine is later on in life, like this was like when we were kids, later on in life, he basically told me he loved me and showed me.
Duh.
And I like wasn't into it anymore.
You're like, I manifested that years ago. We've moved
on. I was like 10 manifestations ago, babe. Catch the fuck up.
I'm not going to lie, not to sound like a full-fledged cult, but my mom is like the OG manifester. Like, you can't talk to her about anything unless she's like, just pray about it. Like, that's, if she doesn't know the answer, that's what she says. And there's no, you can't say anything back to it. She's like, just, I don't know, pray about it. And so I'm not kidding. There are times where like, I'm so anxious or I'm so worried about just like my life in the future. And like, I'll just be like, whatever. I'm just like letting it go. And like, God will handle it. And I do immediately feel a sense of relief, like in my body.
Yeah. Well, Jim Carrey did say he's
all
like, no,
all like spiritual things are the same.
Yeah. Jim Carrey said, our God, he said that. Dolly Parton and Jim Carrey said, and Garth Brooks, they said that don't worry about how you're going to get there. Like, that will unravel. Don't try to force that. Just know what you want to do. Like, remember, he was like, don't care about the details of like trust the process. And I always say this with karma. You know when you're like, oh, I want to get this fucking person back for fucking me over. And you try to, no. The universe has way more creative, beautiful ways than you will ever do. You sit back. You sit back and you focus on yourself. Because let the universe be creative and have some fun with this person.
As much as I love revenge, sometimes like in my head I'll take revenge way too far. And I'm like, come on, Paige, you can't kill their whole family.
See, I think me trying to get revenge is bad karma. Yeah. So I like always sit back.
One of my girlfriends has this one thing that, like, I've heard her say about multiple girls where she's where, like, if we don't if she doesn't fuck with someone, she'll say, ugh, living in their head, though, day after day must be a nightmare. Like, that yeah. their own head is their own, like, that's the revenge. Like, they have to live the rest of their life, like, being them. And yeah. I just think that's so, like, beautiful. Like, if I say anything about someone I don't like, she'll be like, I mean, but think about living in their head every single day. Ugh, like, they got it bad enough.
Whenever someone's done, like, something to hurt me or has been mean to me, mm-hmm. I think how, like, I'm must be one of, like, tons of people they do this to. So it's like, so they just do this to everyone in their life. Yeah. Like, how do you function? Like, this isn't a one-off that happened,
right? No, 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 this is like, no, like, this is them,
this is who they are. Sad. Speaking of pettiness, this is so embarrassing, but I hadn't watched The Last Dance with Michael Jordan on Netflix.
Okay.
I just hadn't watched it, I think, because I was, like, putting it on a pedestal. I was like, this is really important.
And the one that, like, came out during COVID?
I think so.
Yeah.
The one with Michael Jordan. Space Jam is my favorite movie, famously. Mm-hmm. Like, someone will say, like, an Oscar-worthy movie. I say Space Jam.
Space Jam.
Shawshank Redemption? No, Space Jam. That was amazing. This man is the pettiest, vengeful man I've ever... I was laughing hysterically during it.
What, like, did he do?
He's Sicilian. The guy's Sicilian.
Yeah.
So he's so good, right? Like, he wins everything. He's won 3 championships. That, like, you start kind of getting bored in your head because you're so good. So he'd have to play games within the game to get him revved up. So he talks about, like, one guy, like, celebrated a little too hard after, like, hitting a 3. And everyone was like, uh-oh. And Jordan's like, I didn't like how he did that. So then I had to ruin him. And then it just shows Jordan just like, dunk, 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 dunk. Next game, some guy said, like, nice game or something after a game that they lost. And then it cuts to him and he goes, he shouldn't have done that. And then it's like, dunk, 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 dunk. And then at one point, he said that someone pissed him off and, like, won, like, 4 games in a row. And then they asked him, like, this is all because that guy, like, put his hand over your shoulder after the game. And he goes, no, I made that up. Like, he would just make up stuff about people just to piss himself off, just to get him going to want to beat them. And then people knew this about him. So whenever everyone would be like, don't wake the sleeping bear. And someone would, like, accidentally say something in the press. And then the whole team would be like, oh, God. And Jordan would be like, it's time to get your ass.
Michael Jordan is a giggler.
He's a giggler. But it reminded me of, like, kind of like reality TV where, like, after games and during tournaments, he'd, like, be looking at the paper and he'd look to see if someone said something about him to be like, okay, now I have to beat their
He's a literal giggler. He feels most comfortable in the emotion of rage. He feels his most at peace when he's pissing someone
spiteful.
Off.
They did say one thing about Michael Jordan. They said that he always lived in the present. Like, he was he didn't get nervous about the future, and that's why he was so
If I
great.
Was a billionaire, I would too. Okay? Let's please. He's like, oh, he doesn't worry about anything in the future. Yeah. Why the fuck would he? Why would he? Dude, you have to watch then the new movie about him, Air. But the best part is, like, he's actually not even... The movie is about his career, but he's not even in it. Like, they have a character playing him, but you literally only see the back of his head. It's more about his mom. It was so good. His mom single-handedly changed the entire game for the NBA. She's basically the reason that, like, basketball players became automatic influencers. She said no to Adidas. She said no to Reebok for a shoe. She went with Nike, who was, like, nothing at the time. They only did running sneakers.
Yeah.
She said he's not signing this contract unless he gets a percentage of every single pair of shoes sold. And they were like, it's just not how it works, ma'am. Like, we'd have to change it for everyone. Like, this is not how this business is run. And she goes, then change it. And they were like, oh, and they needed Michael Jordan because Nike was going to be, like, going under. And they're like,
I heard they told him, like, they paid him, like, $250,000 and they were hoping in, like, 3 years to make $3 million. And they said, like, in the first couple months, they made, like, $200 million.
Yeah. He makes $400 million a year on passive income. from just okay, shit being
that's
sold.
That's what we need to do. No, passive income.
I'm putting passive income on my vision board. God, if you're listening, I'd love to manifest passive income.
Someone said something like Britney Spears when she brushes her teeth is like making money. Like back in the day, someone said that and I was like, that sounds like a goal. It's so funny you brought that up because I had a note on the Michael Jordan documentary because it's like 9 episodes. Like it's extremely long. Mm-hmm. Never once did they even mention that he got married. Like at one point, he mentions like my wife, my kids. But like if it was about a woman, it would be like a whole thing. Like she met someone, how it affected her career. Did she want to have, she got married. At one point, like episode 7, he has 3 kids and a woman in the background. And I'm like, no one's gonna, this wasn't important.
Have you heard the conspiracy theory that he's the father of Jimmy Butler? Like other like really good basketball player. And they put like pictures of them. No, this is a full sports podcast. Yeah, it's a niche sports conspiracy theory.
Wait, I'm obsessed with that. Well, because Michael Jordan's 2 sons like are like kind of like they never played. LeBron's kids are playing.
And they say that Michael Jordan had this child and was paying child support for the child until he turned 13. Jimmy Butler lived with his mom until he was 13. And then she kicked him out because the dad stopped paying child support. And they're saying that that's the kid. And he's like amazing at basketball and he looks he's just amazing. Like him. Speaking of sports influencers, I went to the Yankee game the other night. Not me. Oh, yeah. I'm not a sports influencer. But there was this girl there and she's sitting like a couple rows ahead of us. And there's a group of teenage boys behind me screaming this girl's name. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I literally was like, it was like a girl who's famous on TikTok. I felt so old because I was there's no way. Yes, it was Livy Dunn.
Yeah.
The guys went nutty for her. And so I'm watching her and I'm watching all these guys come up to her and take pictures. And in my immediate first thought was, wow, I'm so fucking happy that like people that are fans of me and Giggly Squad are all women. How uncomfortable she's probably been in certain situations with so many men. I mean, she had a group of 30 men yelling her name.
She also is like a top UCLA gymnast.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when I was in college playing athletics, like the sports people, the athletes were famous on campus. Like the quarterback was famous. The like certain people are famous on campus, but we didn't have social media. So I think about like, damn, these people back in my day could have like blown up on social media, but they didn't.
Well,
I
mean,
they didn't have it.
This is going to, I can't believe the sentence about to come out of my mouth. The NCAA changed their rules on the athletes making money. And it has to be because of social media, because there's just no way. I mean, Livy Dunn is probably making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars.
No, millions. But it was fucked up because before it's for you to play in college, you couldn't make any money off your sport when the kids are bringing in so much fucking money for the college. But I always was like, what are they going to do? Because if they were going to pay people, they can't pay the top basketball player the same as like the top tennis player. We were not a revenue sport, even though we were working as fucking hard as them.
Right. Right.
But I realize now it's you're allowed to do your own personal social media deals. I remember it was crazy. Like in college, I went to school with this guy, Go Badgers. His name was Mike Brusewitz and he had this big red afro and he had like a couple good games and he was like my good friend. And one day they start selling red afros at the Kohl Center and like hundreds of thousands of people are buying these red afros. And in my head, I'm like, they're making so much money from this kid who's getting, I mean, he has a full ride, but like if he gets injured, his career's done. And I just remember thinking like, there's something fucked up. Like you should at least get jersey sales or something. Like they're all wearing jerseys of
or something.
The guys.
Even if he got like 2% of the sales, like.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm glad that they've evolved. But during my time, 10 years ago, throwback. Yeah. Sorry for my Gen Z fans. I hate reminding you that I'm not Gen Z.
I know. It's sad. I feel like you are. You're my Gen Z.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
So anyway, there's also a fact that Michael Jordan's son is with Larsa Pippen. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I think that's true. No, this is a full sports podcast.
Yeah, but do you guys realize how crazy that is? Jordan and Scottie Pippen were the two players. They played together. Larsa Pippen, Scottie Pippen's wife.
She's known this man.
Scottie Pippen's ex-wife now is dating one of Jordan's sons. Like, this is crazy pants. No.
Also, just like her connection to the Kardashians.
And now she's on Bravo. It all goes back to Bravo.
It literally does. Last thing I want to say, because I also want to know if the Gigglers like know this. I have a massive gripe with Netflix. Like,
okay, where is this word gripe coming from? Because I'm obsessed with it. I love it. We need to use it more.
It's just I have a real. I can't give you a synonym right now, but
it's a gripe.
Yeah, it's a gripe. It's a real gripe. So I got hit with the Netflix, like, you can only have a Netflix in the home that you're in, and you can have it on certain amount of devices. And I have been on my cousin's Netflix for since the year Netflix came out. Like, I have my own profile on her thing, and like, that's it is what it is. Finally, I get hit on my TV with like, hey, is this the account? Is this the home that this is the account? So I'm not going to steal her Netflix.
Yeah.
So I have to make my own profile or make my own account, whatever. I do it. I log in. Great. I didn't realize that I'm basically starting Netflix over. They don't know any
algorithm.
They don't know anything about me. I could only, they gave me like, they were like, out of these 10 shows, pick your top three. And I was like, no, I can't do this. Like, I have different tastes for different things. Why can't I bring my old profile to my new one?
Like, oh, because you had your own profile within her account.
Yes. And so like all my shows that I've already watched, they're already in there that I watched them. It gives me like things similar to this.
That's so scary.
It's like someone has broken into my home and like I feel extremely violated. I'm like, this isn't mine.
And they just threw everything everywhere. You don't know where anything is.
And they were like, watch Gilmore Girls. And I was like, watch Gilmore Girls? I've watched Gilmore Girls multiple times. You don't know anything about
Gilmore me. Watch Gilmore Girls.
I'm like, what?
It's like you don't even listen to me when I talk.
Literally. I feel like it's getting a new boyfriend.
That's like if I went on my TikTok and the algorithm started from the beginning and I was just scrolling, like seeing chiropractor videos. I'm like, I'm not Dez.
No, it's literally as if you are going on a first date and it's like, what's your favorite color? And I'm like, I'm not doing this. I've put in the work. I put in the 10 years of Netflix work. I can't start now.
It's upsetting, but you know what? Maybe in the unknown, you will find things that you never thought you'd find. There's a positive in this, and we're going to find it.
Yeah, maybe there's like a new show that I'm just going to love that they're going to throw up there.
I didn't tell you about my recent psychic experience.
Oh my God, no.
So Sierra is friends with a psychic named Tiffany Rice, okay, who's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she went to my show at the Wilbur in Boston, and she came to the green room after the show. And she just immediately is like talking to my feature and telling her all this stuff. And then she looks at me and she's like, I'm seeing a white cat. And I'm like, Dez is not going to let me get another cat. I've manifesting. I'm praying. It's not going to happen. Then I go, wait, did you say white? And she was like,
your psychic predicted my cat?
I was like, so my friend Paige really wants a white cat. And she goes, she's going to get it. It's coming. The white cat is coming.
Okay, so you guys know that I've been on a vitamin journey for quite a while now. I'm obviously on all different vitamins, but the one thing that remains consistent is Thorn. Thorn takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with their supplements. They manufacture all their supplements in the U.S. using top-notch ingredients sourced globally, plus they team up with the leading medical professionals to bring you highly effective nutritional supplements. I don't know if you guys have seen on TikTok all the girlies making the sleepy time drink with magnesium. If you haven't tried, you must. And Thorn makes the absolute best magnesium. With Thorn, you never have to question each supplement because they go the extra mile when it comes to quality, manufacturing, and ingredients. Thorn is definitely my go-to, and it's trusted by over 5 million customers 47,000 healthcare professionals, and loads of pro athletes like Hannah and I. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/GigglySquad and use code GigglySquad for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/GigglySquad, code GigglySquad for 10% off your first order. thorne.fit/GigglySquad, code GigglySquad. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So I have this conspiracy theory that Dez is a psychic and he doesn't know.
Okay.
Because multiple psychics have told me that Dez is a psychic, but he's like really against this stuff. But I will literally be like, yeah, it's so stupid. So what do you think I should do with this? And he always has the answer.
You're literally tricking him into like reading your tarot cards. You're like, hey, no, just do me a quick favor. Flip this card.
They literally go like, your husband is like crazy intuitive, like knows everything, like so wise. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And I'll be like, Dez, I think you're psychic. He goes, I don't believe in that fucking shit. And I'll be like, so for my career in the next 2 years. And then he'll just,
you're like, what are you
answer.
Just randomly, what are you seeing?
Random.
If you had to see it, what would it be, you think?
No, it's and then I even had it, you guys should listen, I had Dez on Burning in Hell, and I asked the question about like intuition. Dez is like, I don't fucking believe in intuition, it's just stuff that's been in your head, like that's just, you've seen, and then you have all these different voices. And I'm like, but what voices are you hearing? What are the voices saying to you? Because I would like to know them.
we literally have an in-house psychic
that doesn't know,
which
but
is
you're
actually
also,
better.
You're also psychic.
It's one of my favorite compliments when psychics say
you're also
that to
psychic
me.
But not with yourself, you block yourself.
I block myself, but they say, I've had multiple psychics say that I am psychic, but I don't really tap into my psychic abilities until I become a mom. When I pop that first kid out and I'm just like, I know you were smoking weed, like they're gonna be scared of me. And that's what I want.
My honest opinion of you is you actually are so psychic, you know everything, but you choose to be a rebel. Like you'll be like, I know what I should do and I know what I want to do. And then you go, but that would be too easy.
I'm like, but what if we fucked it up a different way?
So I have to catch a flight to Paris.
No, I hate you.
I'm going to keep you guys posted on the journey. And you have a Memorial Day party, right?
I do. Craig is throwing his first backyard barbecue today, and I'm actually so excited for it because he's so excited for it.
The barbecue is going to be barbecuing. Where are you going to be? Are you going to be the girl in the pool? Are you going to be like helping
him
barbecue?
What's my character? Like, am I going full? Like, I'm also hosting.
Don't host.
No, and I think I'm gonna lounge. I'm gonna
do
what I do best.
Be like, Paige, can you grab more cups in the kitchen and like you have to get it?
You put a ring on it, honey. I don't work here. I literally
buy the cow. You can't get the milk for free. You get in a full fight during it when he asks you for cups.
I don't work here. I'm already late to the party. Like, the party started. People are in the backyard.
You're working. Mama has to work.
Mommy's working.
Well, go have fun. I love you. Thanks for listening, Gigglers. We'll talk to you later. Bye.